Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen. We begin with not just for the young. We'd like to thank you once again for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio. We are New Beginnings Ministries. We're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. So we do thank you for tuning in. For those of you that's tuned in by internet, if you would like to call in, we are an interactive Bible study. You can call in at 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. And you can be connected with this interactive Bible study. We'd like to once again thank you for joining.
Hello?
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please hold and you will be able to listen to the show.
Amen, amen, amen. That's what happens when you are dealing with technology. There are technical difficulties that you run into. Amen. So we are going to, because we are lapsing with time, again, we're going to move on over. This evening we have our speaker is Dr. Ronald J. Morrison from Hope Alliance Bible Church in Maple Heights, Ohio. He's going to be speaking with us this evening. He is my professor from the School of Theology at Seminary, and he's one of my favorites. He's one of my favorites. I am truly blessed just the way he breaks down scripture and the way he introduces it to us. So we are going to be truly blessed with this man of God who is so humble but yet full of knowledge. We're going to move on over to Maple Heights, Ohio, and we're going to turn it over to Dr. Morrison and his family members, as they call it. I just found out they call him Pastor Ron. Pastor Ron, how are you?
I'm fine, Brother John. How are you?
I am blessed. I am blessed another day. Amen, amen, amen. I know I caught you on that with that Pastor Ron.
it's an endearing term for me, so.
We're going to turn it on over to you, and I'm going to move on out of the way and let the Lord do with you as he says so. Amen.
All right, well, I'm looking forward to having an interactive conversation Bible study with you, just as we do in class, and if others join in with us, that'll be fine, but looking forward to the conversation.
Amen.
You know, it is that time of year when many become preoccupied with Christmas, and for many of us, that is an acknowledgement of the virgin birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for which we are eternally grateful. However, for most people, it's just a pagan holiday. It's an opportunity to celebrate with family and exchange gifts, sometimes out of love and sometimes out of guilt. For me, one of my favorite verses about Christmas is found in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. I just want to use it as an introduction to where I'm going with our study tonight. Paul tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2, he makes this statement as he's given his testimony. He reminds us that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I marvel at his humility, his honesty, his acknowledgement of who Christ is and really what Christmas is all about. As he says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, meaning this is true and everybody needs to acknowledge this. Christ Jesus came into the world. I like to call to people's attention how often, as Paul writes the letters, he says Christ Jesus instead of Jesus Christ. I don't believe that's by accident. I believe that's his reminder to all of us that before our Savior took on humanity, before he took on the nature of Jesus, he always existed as the eternal Christ, the eternal Son of God. And when he says Christ Jesus came into the world, that is a reminder that before he became Jesus, he existed. He existed outside of this world before he came into this world. It's like me saying that, John Clay came into his house. John Clay had to exist before he walked into his house. Paul is saying that Christ Jesus existed before he came into this world. And he came on a mission. He came to save sinners. We need salvation. He came to provide that. We are told over and over in Scripture that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so what a joy to be reminded at Christmas that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. What really throws a lot of people, and it's a beautiful testament to what holiness is all about, that the apostle could say, of whom I am chief. He didn't say I was, he said I am, the chief of sinners. You might have noticed earlier when he wrote 1 Corinthians, he said, I'm not worthy to be an apostle. I persecuted the church. And later on when he wrote Ephesians, he said, I am less than the least of all saints. And then when he writes to Timothy as he gets near the finish line of his life, he says, I am the chief of sinners. And I like to point out that it's only people who are living close to the Lord who assess themselves properly. When you want to be holy, when you know what it's like to be clean, you're painfully aware of every flaw that you have, and every time you get dirty, if you like being clean, you notice it. And so here's Paul, obviously a man who walked in holiness, but still more aware than most of his own flaws. And just to say, I'm the chief of sinners. And we would say, Paul, you're one of the holiest men that ever walked the earth. But here's a man who knows how to relate himself to his Lord and acknowledge that if it weren't for Christ Jesus coming into the world, he would still be without hope. So as we get all caught up in the Christmas season, I remind people of what it's all about. And then I also like to take a few moments tonight to point people ahead to the second coming of Christ. The world is about to acknowledge the first coming in some way, shape, or form. And yet the Bible speaks, if I'm not mistaken, the Old Testament prophecies outnumber the prophecies about the first coming when it speaks of the second coming, roughly 8-1. There are over 8 times as many mentions of the second coming of Christ as the first coming. So here we have a world of people who are all caught up about the first coming of Jesus in some way, shape, or form, and not paying the least bit of attention that the Bible devotes so much time to discussing what's going to happen when he comes again. So many are worried about the future of America, and some of my friends have been really worried since Election Day. And so I did a message recently about moving from Election Day to focus on that day, the time when our Lord returns to establish his kingdom on earth. And if you don't have a relationship with him, it'll be too late for you on that day.
That's good.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If you have your Bibles open, I invite your attention to the book of Zechariah, the next to last book in the Old Testament, if you're new to Bible study. But I just want to call your attention to a few statements in Zechariah where it talks about that day. And again, for those who are worried about the future of America, I don't know if this is a comforting thought or not, but I want to put it out there. I don't see anywhere in Scripture where America is prominently mentioned in the end times events.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
You see a lot of nations mentioned, Jerusalem, Israel, obviously the focal point of attention. But you don't see the United States of America specifically mentioned.
Amen.
Leads us to a number of conclusions. We might be involved as a secondary player with another conglomeration of nations, or we might be totally insignificant by that time. And that should be no surprise based on our current level of immorality.
Amen.
Okay? Right.
So rather than worrying about the immediate future of our nation, what's going to happen in the next few years, what's going to happen when things change with the government or what have you, I encourage our listeners, let's look further ahead to the future Because if you have the forever pieces in place, if you have eternity provided for, then the same God who has you covered forever is going to cover you each day along the way. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
All right. In Zechariah chapter 12, I call your attention in the Word of God to verse 1. And here he's talking about the judgment that Israel has to face before the glory that will be revealed. I want you to look at what I like to call part of his resume. The Word of God says in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1, the burden of the word of the Lord against Israel. Thus says the Lord. Now pay attention to these next three statements that he makes about himself. Who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. As we look to the future, God is saying to us, instead of worrying about the future, meditate on the power of the creator and sustainer of all things. He says, I am the Lord who spoke into existence all of the stars, the planets, the galaxies, everything you can see and everything you can't see. I spoke it into existence. I sustain it all by the word of my power. That should comfort us as we are concerned about what might happen next. God says, I'm the creator of the heavens. I'm the creator of the earth. He set the earth on a firm foundation. We're still able to stand on it to this day. If your world's falling apart, I suggest to you maybe you need to refocus on the one who made the world.
Amen. Amen.
And then he says, I form the spirit of man within him. We're human because the Creator made us in his image. He placed his breath of life in us. He always has been, always will be sovereign over those he created. Throughout these next couple chapters, you see a lot of mentions. I counted at least 19 times he talks about things that are going to happen on that day.
Wow.
The question is, what is that day? It's a reference to the time when our Lord comes back the second time to establish his kingdom, when he manifests himself in his glory. And people may ignore him now, but I guarantee you nobody's going to ignore him on that day when he comes back in his glory and sets up his kingdom. And so through this next section, he talks a lot about what's going to happen on that day. You with us?
Amen.
Any question, any comment so far?
It's good.
Just taking it in. But.
Okay. One of the things I like in this section, if you're in Zechariah with me, look in, we're still in chapter 12. Verse 9 and 10, he says, "Will be on that day I'll seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem." Verse 10, he says, "And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication." Supplication is basically praying specifically. "They'll look on me whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for firstborn." As we celebrate Christmas, people don't remember the death, burial, and resurrection as much as they should. There's this, the world goes crazy at Christmas. And yet in the Bible, Jesus doesn't tell us to focus on the day of his birth. Yes, it's recorded in Scripture. It's important. It was predicted. But as he did his ministry, he didn't talk about, don't forget the day I was born, don't forget the day I was born. He said, no, don't forget why I have to die and why I'm going to rise from the grave. That's what he talked about.
Amen.
He talked about again. So Christmas gets a lot of attention. The world doesn't celebrate Easter. They don't celebrate the resurrection day. Christmas has become an excuse to, you know, get the things we want and give to others. But I want to call everyone's attention back to what he did after he came, and what he's going to do when he comes back. He says in this section, if you jump down to Zechariah chapter 13, look at that first verse. Uh-huh. He says, in that day a fountain shall be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Here's a picture of, you know, when we think of a fountain, we think of something that's flowing constantly. Mm-hmm. And so we as Christians like to talk about the fountain being the blood of Jesus Christ that has washed us from our sins. And he also describes himself as the source of living water, which also connects beautifully with a fountain. And so he gives that picture saying, in that day, there's going to be this fountain open for the house of David, for the inhabitants of Jerusalem. He's talking about the day that'll come when finally Israel, Jewish people, will realize who their Savior is, and they'll be cleansed, they'll be washed, they'll be refreshed.
Mm-hmm.
For those of us who know Christ, that fountain's already open to us. It's available to us. He's available to us right now. And when he says for sin and for uncleanness, that covers everything. I remind our fellow saints that we are saved from the penalty of sin. We're being saved from the power of sin.
Amen.
And one day we'll be saved from the very presence of sin. It's a package deal when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so throughout this section, these last few chapters of Zechariah, he keeps talking about all the wonderful things that are going to happen on that day if you have a relationship with him, and yet the horrible things that will happen to those who refuse to submit to Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. You with us?
Yes. Amen.
Yes,
good.
Question, comment, anything the Lord bring into your mind as we consider these thoughts?
Yes, Professor. This is Reverend Paul Robinson in South Pittsburgh, Tennessee. How you doing?
I'm fine, sir. How are you?
I'm fine. You know, I often think about, and I talk to my people a lot about the coming of Christ, the second coming, rather than the birth of Christ. And a lot of us, I have shared before, and I'm sharing again, a lot of us think that it's going to be a great day when the Lord comes again, and everything is going to be beautiful, and everything is going to be lovely. But I try to share with them that I'm reminding the scriptures that the Bible says, woe unto those who desire that day. When the Lord comes, it will not be a day of glory. It will not be a day of happiness. It'll be a day of sadness and darkness. And I try to let them know that just because you're saved, that I don't think that that's going to make everything okay because of the way the Lord puts it in Scripture. Woe unto those who desire that day. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I just don't think that that's going to be a very glorious day for a lot of people.
Well, I just want to interject, Pastor. I think it's not going to be too too glorious for those that are without Christ. But we who believe and have the hope of Christ, it will be a glorious day for us. But for those that are without, and correct me if I'm wrong, that's who's going to be in fear, and where their hearts will fail, and where they will back up and say, oh, my God, I should have, and they could have, but they didn't. But we who believe, we who hope on his return, actually look and yearn for his return, we are the ones that are going to stand and say, thank God, Jesus, thank God our Savior is back. You know, and correct me if I'm wrong. I understand where you're coming from as far as woe unto them. But for me, when the sky crack or whenever, however he rides on that horse, I'm going to say, thank you, Lord. But for those that are without, it's going to be a frightening day.
Not
for me.
Yeah, let's connect your comments, both of you, and thank you for sharing. Turn quickly back a few pages, Amos chapter 5. I believe this is what Pastor was quoting.
Was
from.
Referring to? Yeah.
Yeah, Amos chapter 5, just a few books back.
Okay.
And this sounds like what Pastor was quoting for us. For verse 18, woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. What good is the day of the Lord to you? It'll be darkness, not light. It'll be as though a man fled from a lion and a bear met him. As though he went into the house, leaned his hand on a wall, and a serpent bit him. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light? Is it not very dark with no brightness in it? And then right after that, the Lord clarifies who he's speaking to. He's talking to the Jewish audience who knew their Messiah was coming, and they're looking forward to deliverance, but they still had not entered into a relationship with
him.
So again, it depends on, you know, are you with him or making assumptions? And he said, I despise your feast days. I don't savor your sacred assemblies. You offer me burnt offering and your grain offerings. I won't accept them, nor will I regard your fat and peace offerings. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not hear the melody of your stringed instruments. Verse 24, but let justice roll down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. So the point is, for those who weren't serving him, didn't have a relationship with him, but were expecting him to come and manifest themselves and put Israel back on top, he's saying to you, my day isn't going to be good for you. For those of us who are in right relationship with him, yes, we should be looking for the day that he is manifested in his glory. It's like when when your daddy comes home and you've been doing good, you don't fear that. But when he comes home and catches you doing wrong, you know you got something coming.
So we both right, Pastor. Praise the Lord for the scripture.
Yeah. Yes.
It's all good.
Amen.
Yeah.
But you know, Professor, is it some concern though that we should have for our brothers and sisters? I'm talking about our brothers and sisters out of Christ. I'm talking about our blood brothers and sisters, our family, and some of our close friends. How do you feel about when that day comes and they'll be left behind? Is there any thought of them?
I was just getting in. Good evening. This is Elder Kathy from Richmond, Virginia. I came in late on the sermon, but the topic is very interesting. Could we also make a connotation to the fact that the Lord wasn't going to come back until his word had been heard everywhere? So it's up to those. You know, it's like the foolish and the wise brides that was waiting for the bridegroom.
Right.
And they foolishly frocked around and they burnt their oil and at the feast and what have you, but they didn't have any backup. They were not prepared. Okay? So in the midst of them knowing that the bridegroom was coming, they were foolish in how they dispersed their oil, if I'm wrong, correct me, to the point that their lamp went out, and not knowing when the bridegroom was going to come, they weren't prepared. They weren't ready. So he knew them not. So as long as it's touched the ears of our brothers and sisters, blood brothers and sisters, those that are still in the world, if they have had an opportunity to say, I yield, what must I do to be saved, and they didn't go that route, then they would be left behind. Amen.
And it's and it's on them. And it's on them. Because you know what? Right now things are speeding up. And as far as going all around the world, yes, You know, everyone will have an opportunity. It's going even
speedily.
Speedily, it's right here. And those, and I'm talking about my family, myself. I'm talking about my family, my friends, my loved ones, all those people, even the acquaintances that I come in contact with. If I'm dropping seed and whatnot, and I'm sharing with them, in that day, when Christ comes and he says, you know, it says in the word, he comes like a thief in the night. So that day for them, it could be on their deathbed.
Amen.
That day for them could be in that car accident. So before we even get to that point, and I know I'm going off on a little bit of a tangent, before they even get to that point, they have an opportunity to say, what must I do to be saved? Or, Lord, here I am, save
here
me.
Here I am.
Here I am, save me. If in fact that they don't, I'm going to weep for my family. But you know what?
Okay,
The word of God says, work out your own soul salvation in fear and trembling.
Yeah.
We all have an opportunity. God says in his word, it's not his desire that one be lost. Not one. But then, as he's doing the drawing, as he's doing the drawing, because we know that it's God that does the drawing, we just don't come to him. But we do accept him. But it's him that does the drawing. If they don't hear that knock, if they don't heed that call, shame on them. Shame on them. Because you cannot when the day comes, you cannot say, oh, I'm going to be, like you said, Elder, we got to keep our lamps filled with oil. In that day, we can't say, oh, I got to get that oil now. Now I gotta get that oil. It's too late. It's too late. So I'm just saying about my family and my friends. I'm just saying that I feel for them too. But right now, they're hearing the word all around the world.
Right.
And even I'm talking about our world.
Yeah.
All around the world. Yep.
He stands at the door and knocks. All we have to do is
answer my question. You answered my question and my statement, but I just wanted to see how anyone felt. I was wanting to see how anyone felt about if they felt the same way I did.
Yeah,
I
want
the loved ones and the friends.
Yeah,
who like you said are hearing the word but not grasping the word and not accepting him. And I understand. That they will be left behind, but my feel is your concern, and you did hit on that. So
yeah, I'd be feeling bad. I'm feeling bad right now. The day is coming. I'm feeling bad right now. Go ahead, Professor. We don't mean to. Go on, Professor. We don't mean to utilize the conversation. Come on, this is good stuff.
They get quite excited. They get quite excited, but we do get excited.
Yeah, we excited now. You don't gave us a tasty treat. Come on,
that's why all we can do is go out and talk about the good news of the Lord, whether it's on a grocery line, whether it's at a gas station, just to thank God. Instead of, oh, God, when that crash comes, when that heart attack comes. That's the first words out of their mouth, unbeknownst to them. Oh, my God. OMG, as the world has it.
And you know what I do? Because when I first got saved, I used to cram it down my, because I was so excited, cram it down my family and friends' throat about Jesus Christ, blah, 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 blah. But you know what? Now, thank God for wisdom. And now I'll wait for the opportunity, you know? And in anything in our lives, Jesus is always going to come up in that conversation. So when that door opens, here I come. Hello.
Okay.
All right, Professor.
All right, Professor.
We want more, Professor.
Get back on to the speaker.
We want more, Professor. More, Professor.
Yeah. Feed me. I was sorry I got on late. I had to pick up my grandkids, but it's always still on time because I was right there with you.
Amen. Pastor Ron, are you there?
Pastor.
I don't know what happened.
Lord
Pastor
Jesus.
Ron.
We hear you. Come on. The devil is alive. Come on, Pastor.
Yes, he is. Pastor Ron.
Uh-uh.
Did we lose him?
Oh, man.
I'm looking at his number, but for some reason it's not. We can't hear anything.
Oh, man.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Amen.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, I can hear you guys.
Prayer works, guys. Prayer works.
Yeah.
Come on, Pastor.
You know, very, very interesting comments from all of you. And it was in Matthew 24, I believe, verse 14, where the scripture said, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all nations, and then the end will come."
Yeah.
Right.
So we're reminded that the Lord does want everyone to hear.
Yeah.
And it's our job to pray and to share when the Holy Spirit prompts us to share the good news of Christ. But he does want everyone to have the opportunity to hear. He says, before the end comes.
Yeah.
Now, I'm of the persuasion that the rapture of the church could take place at any time. And then you still have that seven year tribulation period that he talks about. And during that time, the good news of the kingdom will continue to be shared throughout this world. And then he comes back to establish the kingdom and finalize what we say is that day. So all that to say, we all need to be living in readiness and not giving people the impression that, you know, you can wait and wait until you see him come.
Yeah.
How many people said, well, when he comes back, then I'll believe? Well, it's too late.
Yeah.
It's too late.
Not the hour.
Exactly. You're not going to get a chance to make up your mind after he comes back. So we remind our loved ones, you need to decide now, because when he comes back, it's to separate those who believe from those who did not believe, not to give them a chance on the spot.
Amen.
You know, Professor, a lot of people, I think, use that scenario where Jesus is hanging between the two thieves on a cross.
Uh-huh.
The one thief who says that testifies for Christ. That one thief on the right, a lot of people take that out of content and think that they can wait until the last minute.
Right.
And get saved, you know. But, you know, like you said, if you wait until the last, that's it. That's the last. It's
exactly. Yeah. You're not promised a deathbed opportunity. And please notice one thief still didn't get saved. And he heard the same information. He was right next to the same Jesus. We can only come when the Holy Spirit is drawing us, not when we decide we want to come.
That's right.
So people who mock God all their lives, intending to wait for a deathbed experience, typically don't get one.
Amen.
Can't be lukewarm in this hour.
That's right. While you're still in Zechariah, this is another sobering reminder. If you're in Zechariah chapter 13, I call your attention. I want to read from verse 7 to verse 9.
Okay.
Which says, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my companion, says the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Then I'll turn my hand against the little ones. It shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, that two-thirds in it shall be cut off and die, but one-third shall be left in it. I'll bring the one-third through the fire, refine them as silver is refined, test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people. And each one will say, the Lord is my God." A couple things here, because Jesus quoted from this passage the night he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. So here we see in verse 7 where the Father is saying, you know, wake up my sword. Just figurative language to remind us that Christ died by the command and will of God. As he said, "Awake, sword, against my shepherd, the man who is my companion. That word means someone who was equal. So here's another
right.
Old Testament proof that God the Son is equal to
equal
God
the
to Father. The
Father. Amen.
Right.
Amen.
And notice it says, strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. Jesus quoted that verse as he was talking to Peter and his apostles that night. He knew that his death was going to cause them to flee and run in fear and be persecuted. But none of this takes God by surprise. But the other thing to notice, and this ties back in with what we read in Amos and what we've been saying about some of our loved ones who don't take this seriously. Please notice that he said two-thirds would be cut off and die. Only one-third will be left in it. One-third is going to survive the fire. And there's been historical previews of this. During the Holocaust, a third of the Jewish race was exterminated. How horrible. But this is actually looking forward to that tribulation period I mentioned, where literally two-thirds of the Jewish nation is going to perish because of their continued rejection of Christ. Only a third of them will survive. He says, I'm going to bring one-third through the fire, and they will be refined in silver, like silver and gold. And you guys are familiar with the purification process where the dross is melted off, you know, time after time after time. The heat is turned up and all the dross and the worthless material is melted away. And the refiner is not satisfied until he sees his clear reflection in that precious gold and silver. And so we remind one another that this is God's way of showing us. He's got to turn up the heat on us sometimes to
get
rid of everything in us that doesn't look like Christ. But if we're his, we survive the fires of purification and makes us holier. If we're not his, the fire will consume us. And so, again, my reminder is make sure you're in the right relationship with Jesus so that you know you're being purified rather than burn up, if you will. The good thing is if you want kids, when you come through and you've been purified and you call on his name and God says, I answer them. At the end of the day, he's going to have that group that says, this is my people. And we'll be able to say, the Lord is my God.
Amen. As the word said, is that my sheep know my voice.
Exactly. Exactly.
They know who it is. They know me.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Lord.
Yeah. Don't stop now. More. I want more.
Yes, Sister Herman.
Here's another reference of what's going to happen when he comes back on that day, and you've heard this too from Zechariah. I think a lot of people who don't get to study the Old Testament enough don't realize, if I'm not mistaken, this section in Zechariah 12 to 14 is quoted most frequently in the Gospels. Just so many things that happen here are referred to or quoted in the Gospels. Notice in chapter 14, verse 3 and 4, Zechariah 14, the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And then that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. And then he goes on to describe what's going to happen after that. But here's another picture. The Jewish people knew that day would be the establishment of his kingdom. And he clearly says when he's going to stand on the Mount of Olives, and there's going to be this earthquake, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got that?
Yes.
Okay, now turn to Acts chapter 1. Don't miss this. Turn to Acts chapter 1.
Okay.
Remember how often the disciples would ask about when's the kingdom coming?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Now look at Acts chapter 1 and read from verse 4 to verse 8. Acts chapter 1. He's already been with them for 40 days after his resurrection. It says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you've heard from me. John truly baptized with water. You'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or season which the Father has put in his own authority. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You'll be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the end of the earth. Where was he standing when he said that? Look at verse 12. Look at verse 12.
Then they returned to Jerusalem.
He was on the Mount of Olives.
Yeah.
The Mount of Olives.
Did you catch that? They knew Zechariah said that when he came back to establish his kingdom, he'd be standing on the Mount of Olives. So he's standing there talking to them after 40 days, and they said, now is the time? You're going to establish the kingdom now? He was standing where they knew Zechariah said he'd be standing when he came back to set up the kingdom.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Amen.
Wow.
Oh.
People don't
still not time yet. There's work to be done.
Yeah.
So had he established it then, you and I wouldn't be having this conversation tonight, would we?
No, we wouldn't.
Right. Right.
No, we wouldn't.
Amen.
There were a lot more people for him to reach before he came back. So I thank God for that.
Yeah, he's yet merciful. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
There's so much there about what's going to happen on that day when he comes back.
Yes, that day.
Mm-hmm. I got one more nugget to share with you. Anybody ever see the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah. You remember that scene when that guy opened the ark and he was like burned up on the spot?
Yes.
You remember that?
Yeah.
You got that picture in your mind? Let me show you where they got that from. I'm going to show you where they got that from. It was all out of context, but I'll show you where they got that from. You still on Zechariah?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Come on, give it to us.
Go back to, chapter 14 and look at verse 12. This is where they got that from.
Well, that's all I'm looking at.
Are you there? Look at
go
this
ahead,
verse.
Pastor. Yeah.
And this shall be the plague with which the Lord will strike all the people who fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall dissolve while they stand on their feet. Their eyes shall dissolve in their sockets, and their tongues shall dissolve in their mouths. I believe that's where the writer of that plague got that picture from when that guy looked into the ark.
Listen, that's
you know, Professor, in the new international version, they use the word rot.
Say that again.
They use the word rot instead of
okay,
dissolve,
right.
All
right.
The word rot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Look at that.
Even Hollywood went into the Bible.
Yeah, they always go into the Bible and take pieces out of context, but they did get it from the Bible.
Exactly.
But thank God we're reading it ourselves.
Yes.
Man, they be changing a whole lot of those verses. He says, not a dot or a tittle.
That's right.
You know, Professor, I usually encourage my sons and some of my brothers and cousins that when they see these movies that Hollywood make that deals with Scripture, I try to tell them to have their Bible, and if it don't line up with what's in the Scripture, then you know it's nothing. You know, with the movies like The Passion of Christ and all these movies dealing with Jesus and Noah's Ark and the Ten Commandments and all these movies that Hollywood makes and they take it out of the scripture, if it don't
mm-hmm.
line up with the scripture, I will not watch it. I won't watch it.
Hollywood doesn't seem to think that the Bible's exciting enough as it is. They always gotta flip the script, as we say. So.
Yeah.
Every time I watch one, I go back to the scripture and make sure I know what they
exactly.
toyed with.
Yeah.
And you know what's so ironic? That everybody's looking at these reality shows. They need to just
mm-hmm.
read the Bible. The Bible
yeah.
has real reality.
Yeah.
But this is good, Professor. I'm
Thank
enjoying
you.
It.
One more thing.
Okay.
One more thing while we're in Zechariah 14.
We're ready.
In verse 80, it says, "And in that day it shall be that living waters shall flow from Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea, half of them toward the western sea. And both summer and winter it shall occur. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. And that day it shall be the Lord is one, and his name one." Did you see that verse 8 about living waters?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What did Jesus say in John chapter 7 when he was standing there in the temple? He told them, "If any man thirsts, you know, come unto me. And
yeah,
out of
yeah.
your belly will flow rivers of
living water.
That's right.
He's the source. Jeremiah talked about the Lord being the source of living water. So every Jewish person knew that over and over, God said he was the source of living water.
Mm-hmm.
So for Jesus to stand there and say, "Come to me if you want living water," then they knew he was claiming to be God in the flesh.
Amen. Yep, yep. And they still rejected it. They
still rejected
it.
Yep.
Mm-mm-mm.
And we also
you know, I just want to go. What
go
were you going to say, Pastor?
Go ahead, Master. You got it.
You know, I just wanted to go back to basically the beginning when you were talking about that day and how
mm-hmm.
people look for Christmas and look for the birth of Jesus and celebrate the birth. And you know what? What I see is how insidious, how and cunning the devil is to put this in the hearts of the people to celebrate his birth, but we should be celebrating or looking for that day.
Come on, come
yeah.
on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what we're being distracted, and all this is a distraction.
That's what it is.
That we're looking at his birth. Thank God that he came and his birth was for everyone, but Jesus lived. He sits on the right hand of God, but now we need to be looking for that day, that second coming.
Mm-hmm.
So we, instead of celebrating the birth, thank God for the birth, we should be focusing on the after.
That's what
after.
You said. When
it's
you...
almost like after the passion or the, you know, after.
Yeah.
We're so focused on Christmas and the birth and the birth and the birth and the birth.
Well, you know, Minister, I think people are more focused on Christmas because of the giving. It has nothing to do with Christ or anything to that nature. It's all about giving. It's all about giving and getting. I often share with people, you know, we get Santa Claus all caught up in Christmas rather than Jesus Christ. But as you said, you know, man, the world takes Christmas way out of context. They take it way out of context. And around my house, we celebrate for what it really means.
Amen.
I understand the gift giving and all of that. But, you know, as Joshua said, "For in my house we will serve the Lord."
Serve the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're going to do here. But if you will look at the word Santa and unscramble it, and I've done this with many people and I've gotten ugly looks, you'll find the word Satan.
Yes, you will.
And we have to understand
Santa Claus is Satan's claws.
We have to understand that the world will make us think that it's all about Santa Claus when it's not.
Mm-hmm. No, that's why in my house we say keep Christ in Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
It's all about Christ. It ain't about no Santa. Okay,
right. That's right.
If you get back to the old school way, the old way, and be symbolic about why you want a Christmas tree even, okay?
Well,
it's all about his suffering. Christ came, but he suffered and died so that we might have life.
Well, you know what, Dr. Morrison, you done provoked us. You done provoked me. I want more. You got to come back.
Yeah,
you have to do a part 2, 3, and 4. Because I'm hungry now. I'm going to get Elder John to give me your number, or y'all can do a 3-way with me because I'm looking for more.
Well, bless your heart, sister. He has my information. I've been preaching through Zechariah for the past couple of months with our church family. All of those.
Oh my God.
Messages are available on our website with the handouts I provided. You are more than welcome to to access those. I am overloaded, and it's because of my relationship with Brother John that I neglected some things to be with you guys tonight. And
amen.
I thank you for the.
And it was a blessing.
So,
it was. You really blessed our souls.
We'll find some other times when. But again, in the short term, please feel free to avail yourselves of any notes you find on our website. There's
amen.
There's years and years worth of notes from every time we preach, we make a handout to go with it. So anything that blesses you, feel free to access it.
Amen. Thank you,
Pastor Morrison. What is your website?
It's HopeAllianceBibleChurch.org.
Okay, Hope Alliance.
HopeAllianceBibleChurch.org.
Okay. I got you.
Good stuff.
Okay.
Did you write that, Ed? Assistant Harold.
Oh, yes.
I am really thrilled to be on tonight. I was glad that Brother John sent me the message tonight. Today, I had some other things I was going to do. Even I skipped Bible study at my church to be on tonight because he asked me, encouraged me to be here and to hear you tonight. So I thank God for that. And I do have something that I can go back to my people with, and I appreciate
amen.
That.
That's good.
Well, I thank you for being obedient to the leading of the Spirit. Okay.
Well, we bless you. Thank you for your gracious word. We got a Bible study going on right now, too, but thankfully I got some other men who can carry the ball when I'm not out there. They're doing a great job. So
amen.
I've arranged it so we could talk tonight, and I'm grateful.
Amen. But before... Yeah, I know the time is winding down, but do you have one last thing to tell us? I'm still wanting more. You have any last nugget?
Were you on when we first started?
Yes, I was.
Okay. I just like to say that Timothy passage should be used more at Christmas time. Some people hear the same passages out of the gospel every year, and they don't listen well.
Mm-hmm.
And so every once in a while, I will go back to that 1 Timothy 1.
Okay.
And I'll close with this. You know, right after he said Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners of whom I am chief. You know, he kind of gave his testimony there where he said, however, for this reason, I obtained mercy. And he goes on to explain that reason, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show all patience as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. look at what he's saying, that he realizes that with all that he had done wrong in his life, I mean, fighting against the church, persecuting believers, rejecting Jesus, he now realizes after all these years of walking with Christ that his life is an example of what a patient, gracious God we serve, that no matter what you've done, he can still bring you to himself and give you the gift of everlasting life. And so verse 17, he's really closing with praise. He said, now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Paul realizes that the Christmas and the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ gave God the glory that he could save sinners such as himself. And he had to just like break out in praise before he even wrote the rest of 1 Timothy.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think it's a beautiful passage to consider for one of your Christmas messages.
Yes, it really
Amen.
Is.
Amen.
Wow. This is so good.
Well, Pastor Ron, that's basically what we get when we're in class. The same thing is like, wow, you know, and he's just an awesome teacher, an awesome man of God, very, very humble, very humble. And that's what I look at more than anything else, how
Amen.
Humble he is.
Amen.
And he has truly blessed me since I have been attending classes. And every chance I get, I try to get in his class. I don't know if you've noticed that, but every class I get, I make sure that I try to get into his class. So we do thank each and every one of you for tuning in. All of those of you that tune in, I believe that we're in Atlanta next week. We'll be in Atlanta next week, and the speaker will be coming from Atlanta. But thank you, each and every one of you, for coming on and being a part of this.
Sir.
I'm seeing 301. That looks like Bishop Palmer pop up there as well. But thank each and every one of you for being a part of this. It's all about it's all about Christ. It's all about the kingdom, you know. And
Amen.
For those of you that's listening by internet, if you ever want to come on and participate, the number is 347-237-4054. Just come on and just participate. We pray that you have been blessed this evening. Once again, Dr. Morrison, we do thank you for taking our time. I know how busy you are. And thank you for taking the time to come and bless us. We just pray blessings on you and everything that you do.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. God bless you all.
Yes, sir.
God bless you.
We love you. But God loves you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, all.
Good night.
In Awaken to a life that's yet to come.